listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, guys, so let's get to the matter at hand here. And it was hot take palooza on social media during the North Carolina Duke game. And it only took about 30-something seconds before it to go down. Number 8 North Carolina beats number 1 Duke 88-72. Before we get to all the hot takes and all the stuff that was spewing out of people's Twitter accounts all during the game because of some exploding shoes, Brad Powers, we start with you. Vegas perspective on what we saw in Durham last night.
Well, first and foremost, obviously Duke's national title odds took a bit of a hit last night. Coming into the game, Duke was priced as the second biggest favorite to win a national title this time of year in the past decade. Only the 2015 Kentucky team had better odds, at least this time of year, to win the title. So what happened? Well, most books, and I'm not afraid to say this, most sports books directors are gutless. They took the odds off the board. You cannot bet Duke or any other team right now to win the national championship at this point in time. But the few that did, and I'll give them credit, Duke pretty much went from being plus 180 in the futures market, meaning a $100 bet wins you 180, to right now, believe it or not, even with the question marks surrounding Zion Williamson, Duke right now plus 220. A $100 bet wins you 220, so not that much movement, despite the fact maybe the most valuable player in college basketball, Zion Williamson, gets hurt last night.
And so when you look at that setup, Fezzik, and you see where Duke is at now, I know there's been some bets that you guys have made back and forth where Brad really liked Duke, you guys really like the field. Does that change just this incident last night, how you view the national championship and especially the NCAA tournament moving forward?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you think that Duke had a free fall in terms of their true odds to win the tournament. Now, the dastardly bookies may have only made a slight adjustment to Duke. Brad documented it, went from plus 180 to plus 220. I would argue that true odds of Duke winning the national championship were about one-third before last night, and I might lower them. Because
So one-third, you mean 3-1?
No, like one-third. I think,
okay.
Yeah, I think right around there.
Okay.
You know, a plus 180, minus 220 right. type of straddle. And so instead of one-third, I'd make the case that their current odds with the uncertainty of Williamson is probably more like maybe 1-6. Would you agree?
Yeah, close to it. And let's put a value on Zion Williamson. How much is Zion Williamson worth to a point spread? 6 points is what I'd expect it to be right now. Maybe wouldn't have been that high after coming into that game against North Carolina. I thought maybe 4 or 5 points would have been fair. After what I saw from Duke the remainder of that game, I have some major question marks on Duke, and we'll get into it here in a second as far as their quality of depth. But Zion Williamson worth 6 points. Let's put that in perspective compared to, let's say, LeBron James. How much was LeBron James worth when he was in Cleveland, when it was basically LeBron James and the rest of the Cavs? LeBron was worth right around 6 points. So right now, I would say pricing, Zion Williamson by far the most valuable player in college basketball.
Now, Brad Powers, you have a big position with Duke in futures bets against RJ and myself.
Here
we go. Would you care to summarize the hit that your portfolio took with that injury last night?
So I was trying to bury the lead here, and I guess the lead is, yeah, Brad Powers' portfolio, forget Nike's portfolio, Brad Powers' portfolio took a massive hit last night. So here's the bets that we had right here straight out of Vegas. First, the one with you and me, Fez, that's the worst of them. I have Duke to win the national title, and you have the following three teams: Tennessee, Kentucky, and Gonzaga. And that's a $500 bet?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So I'm rooting for, you know, maybe obviously rooting for Duke to win the title, but probably at this point, Michigan or North Carolina to win the title. And then just made a couple days ago, me and RJ made a bet. So this one, I'm not as fearful as the one that I have with you, Fez, but I have Duke, Kentucky, Gonzaga, and Virginia, and RJ Bell has everybody else, and RJ Bell has 4-1 odds. That was a $250 bet for me. So if RJ wins, if teams other than Duke, Kentucky, Gonzaga, and Virginia, anybody else doesn't win the title, RJ Bell gets $1,000 out of my pocket.
So let's think about this. If Williamson doesn't play, all of a sudden, Duke becomes like the third best team in the country, and you have a portfolio of four teams that I would make the case should be an underdog against the field, but you laid minus 400.
That's a bad bet. Thanks for reminding me.
Let's Jonas. Go ahead. Yeah, keep stepping on the corpse, if you will, Fezzik. keep reminding everybody what's on the ground over there. Now, here's what I want to ask you, Brad, because I do think it's interesting. So you mentioned that Zion Williamson is worth about 6 points. The betting line going into that game was Duke -9. So yep. If Duke without Zion Williamson, are we saying they would have been a 3-point favorite? Because if that's the case, they still got their doors blown off by 16 at home. An awful loss for Duke.
Yeah, so, but keep in mind, and this is another good teaching moment for those of you listening out there. Yeah, Duke would have been about a 3-point favorite last night against North Carolina, but in one of the biggest atmospheres in all of college basketball this season, Duke was going to get about 4 points of home court advantage. So on a neutral floor, I can make the case without Zion Williamson, North Carolina might even be a short favorite against Duke, maybe 1 point.
The question has to be asked. North Carolina did not shoot particularly well at all, right, last night?
No, that's how bad Duke performed. North Carolina, if you'd have gave me this stat before the game, North Carolina shoots from three-point range, and that was part of my handicap. Why I liked North Carolina last night was, hey, North Carolina's much better than Duke from behind the arc. North Carolina shoots 2 out of 20 from three-point range, and yet, I mean, still beat Duke by 16 points.
Now, Coach K, a tremendous recruiter, tremendous with the media. I have to ask the question. It seems like when things go wrong, unexpected things like Williamson going out, that he sometimes struggles to make the right adjustments. Would you say that this game might be a confirmation of struggles like that?
Well, we've seen it now twice this season, because earlier this season in Duke's other home loss, Trey Jones, the starting point guard, went out. And Duke, as a 16-point home favorite, lost outright to Syracuse, a middling Syracuse team, in overtime at home. I question, you know, obviously Coach K is one of the greatest of all time. He's got the resume, 5 national championships. But I think right now, and this stage in his career, Coach K, tactically, not talking about recruiting or how to handle personalities, but from tactically, X's and O's, I think Coach K is average at best. And he can't lean on the former really good assistant coaches that he's had in the past. When they went on that early run in the 90s, Mike Bray was there. Mike Bray, known tactically as one of the best coaches. He's the head coach at Notre Dame now for the last 20 years. And recently, he loses Steve Wojciechowski. He's the guy at Marquette. Marquette's surging. He was an assistant coach under Duke for a long time. And also, just last year, he lost Jeff Capel, his number two guy. So he can't really rely on assistants. I'm really concerned moving forward. If they don't have Zion Williamson, I mean, it's not a good look right now.
And Chris Collins as well, too, was there for a long time, and now he's with Northwestern. And I think it goes to Mike Krzyzewski saw what was happening with college basketball, and he saw that John Calipari was recruiting these one-and-done guys, because if you wanted the best recruits, that's the way you had to play it. So I think he doesn't have enough time with these guys in their system to really actually learn the system. Thus, he relies more on their individual athletic raw talents than he can develop a game plan. Because of what you're saying is true, Brad, like, that's not said a lot of places to where people doubt Mike Krzyzewski as a coach. He's a great recruiter. He's adapted. He's won national championships in different decades, which is really difficult to do. It's one thing if you win one and then you go a long time and you just never win another one, like, say, a Jim Boeheim. But if you're Mike Krzyzewski and you won in the 90s, and then you won in the early 2000s, and then you won in 2010 and beyond, like, that shows that he has the ability to adapt to this. So when you look at Krzyzewski, is this just the norm now? Is this just the way it's going to be, that if you recruit a one and done, you don't have enough time to develop this guy in your system, and you just have to hope that they pick up on what you're doing with a 30-game stretch that you've got while you've got him there for 1 year?
Absolutely. I mean, John Calipari's probably in the same kind of realm, not great X and O's, but you got to give him credit. Year after year after year, he's got different ball players and yet is at the top of the polls and in it at the very end. Maybe not as many national championships as what Kentucky fans would hope, but I think it's definitely the new norm. And if you'd ask me the last, you know, throughout the one and done era, certainly Kentucky's known for it. But if you've been following it the last 4 or 5 years, it's been Duke, not Kentucky, that's recruited better as far as the one and dones. And there's no question that Coach K's kind of changed his philosophy.
So the key question now is Williamson one and done, or is he done? And apparently there are odds out already on when and if he's going to return, correct?
Yeah. So these came out today. because there's a lot of question marks, and this is a whole new, you know, I'm sure Jonas will have a great take on this, all the hot shot takes after Zion Williamson went down. When will Zion Williamson return? These are odds up right now at Bet Online. Regular season right now, the favorite, plus 150. ACC tournament, plus 175. NCAA tournament, plus 250. And for all those people out there saying, hey, you should shut it down, Zion, for the rest of the year and not play until you're in the NBA, does not play this season, plus 275, the long shot right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, guys, let's get into this. It is Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, Jonas Knox here, Fox Sports Radio, RJ Bell not in today. And let's get into the AAF. Now, initially when we heard the name AAF, I assumed it was a startup professional wrestling company that was opening up in Vegas somewhere. And we have later found out that it's an actual football league. But the problem is, they couldn't exactly make payroll week one. They needed an investor from the NHL, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, in order to make payroll week two. There are concerns about the team, about the league moving forward financially. But Steve Fezzik, you have other concerns that maybe people are overlooking.
Yeah, I have a major concern about the scoring in this league. I think the AAF was aware that for this league to be a hit, they needed to have high-scoring games. They saw what the NFL did, liberalizing rules, higher scoring, better ratings. The NBA, same thing. They went ahead and made more rules for the offense, can't touch the players on defense, higher-scoring NBA, lots of interest there. Even the NHL has made rules changes to make the league higher-scoring. So the AAF went ahead and put in some nice rules, no blitzing, shorter play clock, have more plays, and they expected that their games would be in the 50s and they'd be exciting. And Vegas agreed. They set the totals on the games in the AAF right around 50 week one. It has not materialized, Jonas. We're looking at a league 2 weeks in where the average scoring through 2 weeks is below 40 points per game. And I think this is really, really a problem. What does the public want to see? New league, they're interested, but they want to see scoring. They want to see action. And the fact that this league has been so low scoring with such poor quarterback play, I think that's a major concern about the viability of this league being something that the public is going to embrace.
And I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but if you were to just bet the under blindly on every game so far, where would you stack up?
You'd be winning, right? six and two to the under.
Jesus. So they totally overestimated what this league was going to be.
Yeah, and I think they hyped it. They wanted there to be more scoring. And frankly, I love the new rules. They're exciting.
Yes.
You don't kick the extra point. You go for two. You don't have an onside kick. You can actually take the ball, and you have a fourth and 12. So all these rules make the game more exciting, but they have not translated at all into higher scoring. Let's face it, when Christian Hackenberg is one of your starting quarterbacks, that is a major, major problem for a fledgling league.
And I would also say this. Look, the offensive line play is terrible. And if you talk to anybody who covers the NFL, they'll tell you one of the biggest issues with the NFL when it comes to the CBA and the amount of practice time is that the offensive line play is significantly worse than it used to be. And a lot of that also is these offenses in college aren't really conducive to learning how to play offensive line at the NFL level. So even in the NFL, the top tier, best of the best, teams struggle at offensive line. What the hell you think it's like in the AAF? Every single week there's a quarterback getting turned into a Pez dispenser because some guard doesn't know how to block a guy. And that's a league that isn't allowing blitzing. If they allowed blitzing, I don't know what the over-unders would be or if they would even be able to score points, but I would think offensive line play is a major concern. Christian Hackenberg, we can say what we want about the guy. And yeah, he second-round pick, bit of a disaster, criticized James Franklin coming out of Penn State. But still, he's an NFL-caliber quarterback to some degree, and he doesn't even have time to throw or get anything going. I don't know if it's as much Hackenberg as it is the offensive line.
Yeah, and so to summarize, you've got a league that is challenged to score any points, having trouble meeting its payroll, and you've got one team in Florida, Orlando, that has to practice now in Georgia to get around the insurance rules for workman's comp. This league is rapidly losing credibility, and if it loses credibility, it's not going to be around long.
Yeah, I think we got excited about it because it was like, oh, man, football, and it's a different kind of football. But I wanted to wait and see what it was going to be like in week two, and it was – I just didn't have any desire to watch it. I wasn't clamoring to. There was no FOMO, no fear of missing out. I got to know what's happening in the Atlanta Thrashers, whatever the hell their nickname is, game. Like, I had no desire to look at that. So when you see this and some of the stories that come out of that, and Brad, you and I joked about this. Like, the AAF is almost like that one boss who's running his own company, and he gives you the line, hey, man, so here's your paycheck. Hey, if you don't mind, we had a little bit of an issue at the bank. Don't cash that until Friday after 6 p.m.
A glitch. And that's what the AAF said. There was a glitch on why the players didn't get a paycheck come week one. Anytime I'd heard glitch or, can you maybe do that tomorrow?
Right.
I didn't last too long at that job. I was looking for other work almost immediately.
Yeah, it's not a good look for the AAF and also the product on the field. So great point by Steve Fezzik. And now moving forward, Fez, now that you know what you know about this league and you've got at least some sample size, are you betting the under every single game, or is there going to be an overcorrection?
I'm going to selectively look to play unders going forward, but let's face it, there has been a correction. The current average totals being dealt week three is just under 43 points, not nearly as good as playing under 50.5 like it was week one.
All right, guys, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio, Jonas Knox, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik with you here on FSR. We do have a college hoops tip-off coming up at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We have gotten your feedback here, and a lot of people, we used to do this in the final segment of the show, they would only have like 10 minutes to place their wager or get their bet in, so we bumped it back and bumped it up 10 more minutes, so now you've got a full 20 minutes so that you can decide whether or not you want to take part in the 7 o'clock Eastern time tip-off. And tonight's action sees number 7 Michigan at Minnesota. And on pregame.com, Brad Powers, Michigan is a 5.5-point favorite.
I like Minnesota here. The home underdog plus 5.5. But let's talk about Minnesota's opponent, Michigan. A team that's tough laying points on the road with a Michigan team that's only topped 70 points one time in their last 9 games. So tough to get margin when you can't score offensively. And let's talk about Michigan on the road. Michigan's got a gaudy 23-3 record for the season straight up. Their last 5 road games, they're 2-3 straight up and against the spread. So Michigan has struggled away from Chrysler Arena. And speaking of Chrysler Arena, this coming up this weekend, Michigan hosted team by the name of Michigan State coming up on Sunday. So a look-ahead spot here for the Wolverines. Therefore, I'm catching value with a Minnesota team that at Michigan earlier this year only lost by 2. Minnesota's not going to be intimidated by that gaudy Michigan team. Give me the Gophers plus 5.5 as a like.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik in. RJ Bell is out. Have you guys been able to confirm, is it a snow day? Is that what we're calling this? Snow day for RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik?
I'll let Fezzik take the controls on that one.
Fez, you want to call it a snow day? Or
no, RJ's got some critically important meetings with some big, big people. So we are holding down the fort.
Oh, my, that's a tease, man. Unbelievable. 6 months and you are already the tease wizard. Excellent job by Steve Fezzik there. Guys, we do have college basketball. Now, we talked about Michigan, Minnesota. We're going to go out to the Pac-12. This is a 9 p.m. Eastern time tip-off. It's Oregon at USC. Brad Powers, USC is a 1.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
Yeah, and I'm leaning with the road dog here. I'll take the Ducks plus the 1.5 as a lean here. So this is what we call pizza money if you want to get involved on this one. What I've seen from the marketplace, Oregon, their best player, Lewis King, wasn't expected to play in this game. He's had a hand injury, but he's been upgraded to probable tonight. So that'll be a big boost to already a shorthanded Oregon team. And from what I've seen from these two teams, when they matched up Oregon and USC the last 10 years, Oregon, believe it or not, has covered 79% of the time when these two teams have faced each other. Just a lean for me on the Ducks plus 1.5.
The NBA season resumes later tonight, and it's a big matchup in the Eastern Conference. It's an 8 o'clock Eastern time tip-off between the Celtics and the Bucks in Milwaukee. Steve Fezzik, right now the Bucks are a 5.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
Yeah, I like Milwaukee. I bet Milwaukee minus the 5.5. Milwaukee's quietly been the best regular season team in the NBA. They're outscoring their opponents by 10 points per game. And very likely, Mirotic is going to get some minutes tonight. 6'10 guy. love him, can bomb from the outside, so they should get even better. And frankly, Boston has been struggling with Kyrie Irving in the lineup. This team is only outscoring their opponents by 5.5 points per game with him.
Yeah, and you're talking about the best ATS team at the All-Star break, coming into the break, the Milwaukee Bucks. In the entire NBA, the Bucks 34-21-2. And real quick, Fez, didn't we have a draft on who's going to win the East? And didn't you take the Bucks? So you're already playing right in the team that you took in the draft?
I do have the Bucks to win the East, and I have the Bucks tonight, minus 5.5.
Wow, okay, well done. All right, guys, so next up, it's a TNT doubleheader, obviously, after Boston and Milwaukee. We've got the Rockets and the Lakers. We've talked a lot about the L.A. Lakers. They are on the outside looking in. Three games out of the 8th seed right now, sitting in the 10th spot in the Western Conference. And so right now on pregame.com, the Lakers hosting the Rockets, and it's Houston who's a 3-point favorite at LA.
And I lean to Houston. Either Paul or Capella has been out for the Rockets since December 22nd. Houston is finally back to 100% strength. And as we've spoken about, the Lakers' motivation is questionable. The young players feel they are expendable. Lakers are 1-4, been outscored by over 80 points the last 5 games. Lean to Houston, minus the 3.
Now, you guys, for people that have missed the earlier portion of the program, there was a green button bet, and here on Straight Outta Vegas, the green button is an automatic $100 bet between the pros, not between me, because I don't have that kind of cash, but between the pros, and you guys were betting on the Lakers down the stretch, and Brad Powers has the Lakers finishing 500 or above. Steve Fezzik, you have the Lakers going below 500. So this could be a real tipping point, guys. So does this make this game that much more exciting for both of you, seeing a long-term futures bet in play?
Certainly it does, Jonas. And I'm going to – you just got to lean on Houston. Do you want to make it a bet on tonight's game?
Let's do it.
Here we go. All right.
Action. Got to love the action. I got the Lakers. See, I got LeBron.
See, I've picked up a few things from RJ. I've now learned how to make you guys fight, and it's really fun. I got to be honest with you. It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but you guys are really good at gambling. All right, so here we go, guys. Steve Fezzik, before the show, we were talking about NBA teams down the stretch. And one of the interesting and fascinating aspects down the stretch of the NBA season is teams that realize they're not in it, they're out of it, and they're going to tank. Fez, you've got 3 tanking teams in the NBA you want to shine a spotlight on. Who are they?
Yeah, Phoenix, New York, and Cleveland. These 3 teams, Phoenix, New York, Cleveland, I want no part of going forward, Jonas. I'm either going to bet against these teams or I'm going to pass their games. And the reason being is that all 3 want to stay behind Chicago in the standings. Chicago has 14 wins, so Phoenix, New York, and Cleveland all want to keep losing such that they'll have the maximum chance to have the number 1 pick in the draft. And also, whoever can have the worst record is guaranteed a top 5 pick. Where I'm especially going to look to fade those 3 teams is whenever there is a point spread that's small, so I can play on the money line against Phoenix, New York, or Cleveland and just bet them to lose their games. That's how I'm selectively going to be betting the rest of the year.
Can you fade in any other sport? Can you fade teams down the stretch just based on the fact that they don't want to win? Because I don't know. Because in Major League Baseball, I know they expand the rosters and you've got that, but those are guys that are going to want to make an impression on their team later in the season. Is really the NBA the only sport where you can do that?
I think it's the only one. And in fact, I would make the argument that in the NFL and in MLB, you typically get so much value on these ugly dogs that you want to bet on those teams come the end of the season, but not in the NBA.
Especially when you see NFL coaches always on the hot seat. The idea that they're going to tank games with their jobs on the line is just crazy to me. But in the end, that's unbelievable that you go and do an NBA season, you got 20-something games left, and you can identify which teams just don't want to win. Like, what is it? If you're a fan of those teams, why are you even watching? What's the point?
Yeah, and I think the poster child for all this, if you watched the Dallas Mavericks last year, what they were doing with their lineups, it was crazy how this team absolutely did not want to win, to the point of, with 5 minutes to play, if Dallas had a 3-point lead, you would see them take out their starters for youth development. And I think we're going to see this with Phoenix, New York, and Cleveland coming down the stretch. Any game those teams are about to win, look for some funky lineups late in the game.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.